to regroup, or do we go back
home? Sure. You think you're presenting or not? One of our theme this summer, looking ahead a little bit, is Inside Out. And one of the ideas for one of the days, we have sub-themes for each day, is the first shall be last. And so we're going to let the fours go first, and then we're just going to go around. We'll go four, three, two, one. And we'll just go through, and each person will get a chance to say one of their items that might be on the top 10 list. Okay? Sorry. And again, we'll try to be pretty... since the category is so broad, we'll decide together if it if what you say goes with one of our categories. So where's group four?
Right here.
Right here. So you guys can say one first and see if it's on the board.
All
right.
Pick one.
I'll go with for our group, a pig lived here.
That is true. That is true.
That's a big happening, you know.
That is true. I don't think it really could be construed to make the list at all.
No, it was a significant event in the life of the camp. It did not make the board for the last 12 months.
Okay, it changed my kids' lives.
Sorry.
We were
unaware, so sorry. Excellent guess. Sorry. Okay, group three.
That did happen, and that may actually be, it's probably part of that.
Yeah.
So we'll let you decide. We're gonna award that a point. The category that falls under is overwhelming support.
And that one's actually worth 20 points. So.
20?
You only get 1 point for that?
No, you get 20. You get 20.
So
just a few notes on that. That was a big all year long. I think this year we felt overwhelming support. Anytime a need came up, it felt like it was answered quickly. And one of the times that was I think represented really clearly in the past 12 months was at the auction, because we weren't even sure if we should have the auction after the flood. And lots of people came out. Lots of people were excited to support camp and the surrounding community. And we actually gave a lot of that money away that was given at the auction for campers at winter camp. We had a lot of Irene flood victims, local, who had never even been to Bethany Birches before, say, we said, we have money if you want to come for the weekend. And they said, sure. And they had a great time. As far as I know. So that was one of the ways we felt overwhelming support this year.
I mean, there's actually been quite a few. One very basic, simple one, which was almost surprising. Cheek sent out an email to some people and said, we want some food to put in the freezer for snow camps. And a ton of people, the freezer was full in 2 weeks?
Yeah, not long.
Overwhelming support. This story of the cabin, it continues to unfold, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But this morning, an example. So the guy who lives down the road, Bernie, he has this tree project. And so I was like, geez, you know, we don't clear forests. It's not what the camp does, you know? So he's like, well, if you could just get some people together, you know, I know you have some friends and whatever, just, so I was like, well, okay. So Matt Maxim, who's actually down there right now with one of his friends, who his son comes here, he has this commercial chipper. He can take a 15-inch tree and just sucks it in and comes out as pieces. And Gary Hawks is down there. And so I essentially sent an email to Gary, and Matt called his friend, and Jeff is down there, and two other guys, and it's almost done. And Bernie was so pleased with this that he, instead of giving us 5,000, which he had promised, he gave us 10 this morning. And so not only is there a lot of support there from him in this case, but the people who went to do that. Dave came up a few weekends ago because Big Wade, if you remember him, I used to be on maintenance here a few years back. He was like, you know, I really want to come up. He was kind of pushing me to get started. I was like, what? you know, we haven't even heard anything back from the fire marshal, really. He's like, well, I got to come up because you got to get started. So Dave and Matt Haritunian joined him for a weekend, and they began this project. So this cabin thing is just, I just keep sensing this overwhelming support. There's many more things we could add to that. Anything else to the overwhelming support?
I think just each time I feel like we have a need, and whether we call someone or we send an email or, in lots of different situations, people are supportive, and that makes working every day with just two people in a small office on top of a hill in the middle of nowhere makes it feel a lot easier when there's, or more exciting, I guess, when there's lots of people supporting. So.
Yeah.
And I remember the auction, you know, the whole idea of the flood, then the auction committee's thinking, do we pull the plug, do we go ahead of it, how are we going to do this?
Yeah.
Then there's this idea of how can we support the local businesses, you know, and our auction ended up being this ridiculous amount of money and interest and support that really just came out of, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't do auctions.
Yeah, it's
beautiful. Good. Thank you, group number three. We'll move on to group number two. If you could share with us one of your thoughts on...
We're going
to
go with Gaga Pit.
Gaga Pit. That did make the list.
Yeah, right.
Now that's just for 10, sorry.
Oh.
So I feel like Deb did one at one point this summer. We called it Gaga Craze because it felt like every time I turned around, like it didn't matter if the pig trough was coming out or the slip and slide or whatever. There was like a mob of kids down at the Gaga Pit, and I just have to share really quickly how this came to be. Brandon had mentioned maybe a year and a half ago or some chunk of time ago, hey, don't you think we should have a Gaga Pit? And I watched it online and I thought, that looks like such a dumb game. I don't want to play that. So then I talked to two other camp directors, and I was trying to think of feeling like maybe we should add something, like something else would be good, a new game or something to keep it fresh. And so I talked to two other camp directors who both, when I asked them what they felt like the best addition they've added to their camp in the last 5 years, both of them without hesitation said, a Gaga Pit. You have to have a Gaga Pit. So I watched it again online, and I thought, well, I guess this doesn't look that terrible. So at a conference, they had this, some Gaga Pit people. There's like you can get, what do they call it? Temporary Gaga Pits. They take them around to various events, and it's just like a big thing right now. So online, there are some instructions, and there's a Blooming Glen young adult Sunday school class that comes up each Memorial Day weekend, and they always want different projects. And so we emailed the guy that kind of puts that together. He's like, oh yeah, Gaga Pits, they're great. And he starts looking online and brought the brackets and brought the material. And we actually used Gary Hawks's, what is his stuff
Eco
called?
Track.
His Eco Track. He had some leftover kind of Mod Podge pieces, and he donated that. And so I thought, well, it's not going to cost us that much. Well, I mean, we should definitely put a Gaga Pit in. And in a weekend, Yo-Yo and Brian Gosher and Chad Yoder put in the Gaga Pit, and it got used more than, at one point this past summer I had to look around and say, we are not a Gaga camp, like we have to do something besides play Gaga, but some counselors used it as, if you clean up fast, we can go play Gaga, or, you know, if you don't listen, we won't play Gaga, or however they would use it.
I counted 46 campers in there one time this summer. And they didn't really even fit.
I think the greatest part of that.
Describe it for those.
Yeah. I think.
I have no idea what it is.
So it's this pit down here. It's this octagonal circle. And what happens is it's like a form of dodgeball that everybody's good at, it seems like, because it's played on more on the ground. So you have a small dodgeball type ball. And if you get hit below the waist, you're out. And you can only hit it one time, and then someone else has to hit it. Like, you can't just keep pounding it away at people. And when you pile a bunch of people in that pit, it's impossible to stay in. Well, for me, it's impossible to stay in for very long. Some of the campers are better at it. But when you pile a bunch of people in that pit, and then everyone starts hitting the ball around, everybody's out, and then everyone hops back in. And everyone's out, and then everybody hops back in. And it's the game, the kid that, like, is having a hard time on the ball field during group games is loving Gaga. And the kid that is winning at group games is also loving Gaga. So it just seems like a good representation, at least last summer, of everyone can play. Everyone is welcome here. Everyone can play this game. And yeah, outside of a few moments of skills. Oh yeah,
this is not our pit, but this is so you just hit the ball at each other in the legs.
Yeah.
So that's the idea.
I would say maybe after the meeting we should all go play a game. And you want to watch out for Naomi? She's very good. She played with us last summer a couple times. So everyone can play. So Gaga Craze was a good was a good addition in the last 12 months.
All right, next one.
All right, next week, number one.
How about the fire marshal
visiting? Okay. Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, we can. You want to put it in there?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're gonna that really fell under the overwhelming support. We're also gonna let it fall under answered prayer.
Not the fire marshal himself.
Well, there's two pieces. There's three pieces to this answered prayer. The first one is that after the fire marshal did show up, I became very discouraged.
You can leave that.
You can leave that. I became discouraged, and a lot of in my life, there's an ongoing theme where God, where certain events that seem to be hard for me often are the biggest growth periods in my life, and I have come to experience that as God moving in my life. So after the fire marshal left, I was like, well, I wonder what's in this for me and what's in this for the camp. So I've been praying about that. There's a broader piece to this that has been going on with Cheeks this spring.
Over the last 6 months or so, I feel like, again, this idea of a lot of needs have come up. Winter camp especially can be a trying time because we try to do it the same way as summer, but we don't have the buildings that we have in the summer, and we don't have the staff that we have in the summer. So it oftentimes feels very challenging to run a camp the same way we do in the summer, but without two of like the essential summer ingredients that we have. And so there's one snow camp that we didn't have any shepherds, and I thought maybe I could do it, but sometimes then when I shepherd, it's hard to do other things, and we didn't have quite enough staff, and lo and behold, there's 2 weeks out, someone called me, who had already told me that they weren't going to come. They called me and said, actually, we do want to come. Do you still need us? And I was like, yes, we need you. Please come. And another thing that I'm not always sure how to read this, because weather patterns change, I think, regardless of the amount of prayer, but we had a really non-snowy winter this winter. And while I think we can do what we want to do here with or without snow in the winter, I think it's a lot easier when kids come for a winter camp or a snow camp to have snow. And so before both camps, I was a little discouraged at the amount of snow. And so when I get discouraged, I oftentimes call my mom, and she reminds me to pray. And so she said, well, we'll pray about that. And so she was praying about that. And lo and behold, there was snow for snow camps. And for the first snow camp that we had, Bobcat Camp, they were actually coming to cook. And I was excited for them to come. But there was only about 8 kids signed up, about 10 days out from winter camp, and I said, Mom, I'm really excited for you guys to come, but you might not have to cook for that many people. She's like, well, we're planning for 35. That's what we always plan for, so that's what we're, that's the amount of food we're bringing. If you have leftovers, that's fine. She said, but we'll pray. And so we started praying, and we had the biggest winter camp in the next 10 days that we had before that. So maybe it was just, yeah, it's hard to know, but there was a lot of prayer and felt like a lot of answered prayer. And more recently, with this upcoming summer, as of the end of March, I had one female staff hired and one returning male staff that said he was going to come. Outside of that, we didn't have any applications. We didn't have any nothing. And at the end of March, after we've done all our recruiting, that's not really a great place to be. So I called my mom and talked to Brandon, and we prayed a lot. I feel like I was praying a lot. And we have one more person to hire for the counseling side and the program side of things. So that's all. Yeah, just really encouraging, and this answered prayer has been an intense theme of my life, in my life, which oftentimes comes out in camp.
So how many points, you gave them points?
Yep, I gave them points.
All right, so we're back around.
Yeah, number 4.
So at the end of the first round,
at the end of the first round, we had
I can't believe the pig didn't make it.
Sorry. We can roll pie game next year. So number 3, group 3 is 20, group 2 is 10, and group 1 has 15.
Yeah, Tom, this is...
So, answer the prayer?
Yeah.
No?
That was not an answer to my prayer.
It is very biased, you see, this game.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we have auction on here. I don't know.
Do you have something else besides auction? Because we kind of gave auction with...
We could get well.
That was a big event.
The overwhelming support.
But I also don't know if you have any negatives up there. We have fire marshal on our list.
Okay. Well, listen, they now have two, but they were already set, so I think they should at least get some bonus points.
Okay. So how about we'll give you
five.
At least I was gonna say ten. Because they are very significant, so that's good.
All right.
Okay.
So group three, right?
Yeah, group three is next. Yep.
Well, I was gonna mix the successful auction and the pigs together. But we can do there was. Amber and Brandon turned 30.
Now, do you think we can get more points?
Okay, well, it's not on here, but since you did say the number 30, we'll give you
30 points for that.
2 points. This is what we're It's number 10. One thing we did this past summer for the first time, this was after we had been to a convention last spring, or a conference last spring. And we were made aware of the how camps can be more relevant to what's happening in the culture. So, like, if schools end up going year round at some point, camps become not relevant, right? If there's no time to
let me jump in.
Okay.
So, for the last 8 years, from the Bush administration and the Obama administration, there's been a significant movement. They've been studying the fact that we're one of the least educated developed nations. In our school test scores, I mean, you can ask Tom about this and some of the other school teachers. From my perspective, school is not even school anymore. It's some sort of factory to get kids through. And so, they've been doing a lot of work on what should we do with our schooling problems. And one of the things that they are considering, and when I say they, I just mean the presidential administrations in the last 8 years, have talked about going to school more. So obviously, this being primarily a summer camp, that would have a significant impact, and we learned about this at the American Camp Association Tri-State, which is a big, big gathering, and they were talking about this. And so one of the responses to this cultural shift that they're talking about is how will camps, if that happens, if there is no more summer, for example, what would a camp become? Chiefs, you can jump back in with what this Explore 30 is.
So Explore 30 was this movement or programmatic idea that the American Camp Association was offering to any camp that wanted to join. And essentially it was just documenting that within your schedule you leave time for campers to read for at least 30 minutes each day. And so we did that. We rest for at least 30 minutes each day. You don't have to force kids to read. You just have to leave that option there. And it counts if a counselor reads to them, which often happens, especially the first night of a younger kid camp, often happens for about 2 hours before they all fall asleep or something like that. So if a counselor reads to a kid or a kid chooses to read during that time, that was what this Explore 30 was. And they sent us a lot of books and different magazines and things like that because we were part of this program. And so... it was good. It was a good to force me to include rest time into our schedule because sometimes I forget to do that, and that's not good for anyone. And it was also good to be part of this, and we'll plan to do it again this coming summer.
So how many did you give him for that?
That was just 2 points.
Two! Killer.
This is a 10.
This is tough.
Next year I'm going to send out a survey and see what y'all say. So next up, group number two. Yeah, group number two.
We're going to go with the pavilion project.
Okay.
Oh, we had that too.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that's ding, ding, ding.
All right. Up higher on the list.
Yeah. You get 2 points.
Up higher on the list. So I'll touch base on this in a minute as well, but many of you may remember we had... a readiness process, some call it a feasibility study, where we essentially hired a consultant and talked to a lot of you and in the broader network of camp and said, how interested are you in this project? How much money might you give? How will all this go in your mind? And we got the results back, and that was probably the first time that the camp has taken on such an official fundraising step. So that was kind of significant. So we'll get to that a little bit later, but
10 points.
10 points.
All right, group one. What are you implying about our former family fundraiser, Robert? Okay, we'll give you...
Nothing, he's saying he's having a great time.
We have kind of an overall winter camp category that we'll count that towards. And both of... winter camps...
I think we should ask Robert what was fun about it.
Oh, okay.
What made that day fun? And does anyone remember anything from that day? What you enjoyed? That's right, that's right.
We had a hopping broomball tournament that day. It was really fun. So, a few other notes. Just Family Fun Day was fun, and it was another one of those days where it felt like we didn't have any snow. We couldn't even open up the tubing run for that day. And I remember the morning thinking, why are we even doing this? And just being reminded that this place is more about the amount of snow that it gets in the winter. It's about people coming together. And we had it was a random group of families. We probably had about half of it was from our regulars, as we call them sometimes, people who are often at camp. And about half of them were people that were coming to camp in winter for the first time. And it was just a cool mix of, people coming together. A few other notes about winter. We have a waiting list for most of our snow camps this winter, at least on the girls' side, which is really cool. But the fullness of it also led to some blunders. I look back at the Bobcat snow camp and oftentimes think of Bobcat blunders because we had a number of preventable things that could have been prevented happen that weekend. One girl fell out of a bunk bed and got a concussion and had to leave, and that felt really unfortunate that we didn't have rails on our bunks before that moment. We had rails on our bunks, but now the bunks are taken down anyway. A couple of kids one girl got a stomach virus, and that passed very quickly to the girl that was sleeping very closely next to her. Luckily, we got both of them quarantined at our house, which was the only place left for them to go, along with one of my aunts who was helping to cook. And so we just were starting to realize that we're not, there's a ways to go that we can improve on winter camps. So there were some blunders that we had to take care of, but overall, it was an exciting season of winter camps.
Yeah, that was a time. At times, I say, "Geez, this pavilion project is so big." You know, like for us, it just seems large. And that weekend, I was like, "It cannot happen soon enough."
All right, back to group number four. Do you have anything?
You better give them.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you.
10 points.
This is why she's the registrar. She makes sure everybody gets the discount.
I think that's too many.
Summer camp. Nobody's mentioned summer camp. Isn't that one of the biggest things?
Yes, it is.
And it was worth 2 points.
Well, you actually have there's two we could categorize this in.
I think it's a lesser category.
Yeah. Both.
If they could be more specific, we'd be happy.
This past summer, especially, we had a staff full of really mature, experienced counselors and cooks, and everyone here felt like the majority had been here before. The majority were either entering their senior year of college or had already graduated from college, and it just felt like there was this different depth in those counselors, and they were able to go, they just understood more of what was happening here and were able to dive in with that. And so we had this, it was really, really cool. It was really cool to have that level of experience here. But I'm also excited, looking ahead, I'll say briefly, we don't have that level, at least camping experience, coming in this summer. We have a lot of new, usually after a year like that, we're learning, we get a year that's coming, where we have a lot of new people, and people that haven't done this before. And there's also a lot of excitement in that as well. So I'm excited for this summer, but really enjoyed last summer with the group of people that were here working with us.
Yeah. So it's cool. So speaking of experienced staff, last year we are basically now up to 4 year-round positions, 2 of which aren't really year-round positions. Margaret is with us in the office, I would say once a week. Would you say twice a week sometimes? When she's buying a house, maybe never. And Yo-Yo was here. Some of you remember him, the maintenance person. He was here for almost two full years, and I mean the winter in between, 2 summers. And that was really good, and he's gone now, and I'm sad because he was very multi-talented, multifaceted, and he picked up a lot of things that I had been doing that I just quit doing because he knew what to do with them. He knew where we take certain equipment. He knew where we buy things. He knew how to work with the sewer guy to empty the septic tanks. He knew all this stuff. And now he's gone, and I feel sad. So what I'm realizing is that having these 4 separate positions, my position, Amber's position, someone in the office, and someone on maintenance, is really great. So the challenge we're into now is how will we keep good quality people in each of those, especially the other 2 places that Amber and I aren't in. Margaret hasn't told us she's leaving, so that's good. But with this maintenance thing, it's a burden ongoing. And so essentially what we're looking for now is something from the old days. I think Nelson Hutt used to do that for many years. He was here on 2 days a week, whatever time he had. And so we're kind of shifting back to something like that year-round with a seasonal maintenance person. So if any of you know of someone who has a day or 2 days a week, and we can't pay a lot, but we are budgeting a significant amount of money, significant, $8,000, $9,000 is in that category. So if you know somebody who says, oh yeah, I would like to do that, and you could actually recommend them, then please tell me, because that continues to be a challenge to get somebody to keep all that knowledge and keep offering that year after year.
Okay.
How many points did you get for that?
I already put them out there. 20 points for your staff. Group number 3 is up next.
We have 2 that actually sort of were talked about. One was lack of snow. But so that was already talked about, right?
Yeah.
What about expanded winter program? That happened this last year.
Interesting name.
And I categorize that as teams. I feel like every time we get up and talk about camp, we talk about the teams, and because we keep adding more to what we're trying to do for these teenagers who some of them are now coming, I don't know, 5 or 6 times throughout the year. If they come to the internship and they come to a week of summer camp, and there's 3 different times they can come during the winter. And some of them this year in my search for staff landed in the kitchen for snow camps, helping Ben Hameen, or they landed as an assistant counselor for a snow camp. And so it's really becoming this cool program. And each of those times, whether they're here as staff or whether they're here for program, they are, I feel like we're getting to relate to them and hang out with them and be with them. And I feel like they're asking questions that are just really cool to have conversation about. I wish I had more answers for them or had a better, I wish I had more answers for them and some of the questions that they ask. But we feel like our teen program is really expanding this community, and it's exciting to be a part of. So
part of why that is so exciting to us is because when you think about our alumni, I mean, some of you went here as kids, but a very, very small percentage of our alumni actually sort of stick with the organization and help build it and continue it. So, like, ideally, we would have a camper sort of through a process of internship and this teen program we have. They would become a staff at some point in their 20s, perhaps, and at some point they would become a volunteer and a donor. And Dave Ross is the perfect example of this, as I think a few of you are. He was here many, many years as a camper, many, many years on staff. Sometimes those 2 overlapped. and now he's on the board, and he's volunteering, and he's giving some money. And that's excellent. And so if we are able to keep kids at this period of time, I think there's a much better chance that as they grow up, they'll say, yeah, we really do like that place, and we really do want to help it succeed, and we believe in what it does in the world. So when teens come over and over and over, this is probably going to happen, and that's a good thing.
All right, there's just two more. We have, I think we'll just give two more groups a chance, and then we'll just tell you what they are. So.
I'm going to go to the barbecue, Summer Sunday.
I love that day. I really do.
It's a wonderful day.
I guess it wasn't...
It just wasn't giving any points.
Yeah. Next year.
That's all right.
I can't wait to send a survey out.
You get two.
All right, group one.
Group one, how about that? What do you guys have for group? Anything left?
Tiered pricing.
Okay, Phil.
What's
that?
We're gonna. That's 75 points. We just got blind. We didn't say no to us.
So we'll say free camps.
That's a direct correlation.
Direct correlation.
So I'm gonna go ahead and give you 2 points.
That's right. Very clever. Very clever.
We just got a channel.
Didn't you say the low score is the winner?
I didn't say that yet.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Well, so free camps, essentially what that is, we're always trying to figure out how can we communicate that camp is here and that it's a good thing. And so what we found is that if we find the parents that have other friends that really believe in camp, they will essentially help us get their friends to what we call party, what we call free camp. And we call it free camp because we basically do, for about an hour, we just do camp things. Like we have the pig trough and we play certain games. And so we essentially say, we're coming and we're bringing some of our resources and we're offering camp. And then the other hour is sort of a bit of video and a bit of conversation about what camp is and encouragement to sign up. So that's what free camp is. And we had three this spring and they were very successful. One mom called me from Proctor, and she said, you know, she's like, my daughter went there this winter, and she was so excited about camp. So I said, well, what's so good? And she said, well, it's just really fun. This is a 12-year-old. And the mom said, well, okay, so it's a church camp, right? She's like, how much of it was like church? And she's like, she doesn't know how to measure that. So the mom says, you know, out of 10, how many parts church, how many parts non-church? So the daughter says, I think 3 parts church, 7 parts non-church. And so the mom says, well, is that a good ratio? And the kid's like, oh, yeah, it's perfect. She's like, I didn't want any more church, and I didn't want any less church. She's like, you didn't want less church? She's like, yeah, what we talked about was really good, and I feel like closer to God. And so this mom is telling me this on the phone, and she says that she thinks whatever the mix is, and I confess, you know, we don't like you know, break it down. How many parts are spiritual? How many parts are non-spiritual? But she felt like what we're achieving is a setting where kids can absorb what's happening and what's being spoken. So it was really encouraging. And so she said, well, you just got to come up here and have a food camp. This was this week. I was like, well, summer's coming up. Maybe 2 weekends. She's like, oh, yeah, well, I was thinking like July. You know, you come put a camp on in the town. So I was like, we don't do that in July. So she misunderstood a little bit the nature of free camp. In other words, we don't just bring camp and just do it, right? You got to. It's sort of a taste. So that's what free camp is. Phil, can you say anything about tiered pricing?
We weren't sure how it would go. There was, I guess, some trepidation that would be confusing to people and that people would just say, just give me the number. I can't really figure out what you're trying to accomplish. But I don't think I think it was fine. I mean, you guys know, and Margaret would know more so than me, but the feedback that I heard was that there wasn't a lot of consternation about it, and that overall there was an interesting split. I don't know if you know off the top of your head sort of the high, middle, low. It was what,
out of 300 campers, 150 took the full discount, so they took $100 off.
Which was the same as the prior year, essentially. Right. So it's sort of flat pricing.
Right. And then another, I think it was like 140, and then another like 35 took the halfway point, and then that leaves like a little over 100 that paid full rate.
And the highest price, I think, was, you know, sort of our reasonable facsimile for cost, knowing that accounting is a black art.
When I just added that briefly, there definitely was some confusion, but I don't think any confusion that kept people from signing up. They would just call, what price am I supposed to pick? And so then it was a great opportunity to have a conversation, like, whatever one you want. Like, we don't want to let finances get in the way. You can pick whatever you want. Why are you doing that? Like, what... And I was like, well, we just want people to come to camp. So, great. That sounds good. So they picked whatever price they want. And so when there was confusion, it felt like, and it was minimal. I maybe had four or five conversations, but it was fun to have those conversations with parents and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a good. It's been a good opportunity to educate about the fact that we're a charitable organization. When they say, why are you doing that? We say, well, because donors are providing a subsidy so that you can have less cost. And so I think people are, it's a helpful educational piece to say we raise money. All right, where are we at, Cheeks?
The very last one here that we've done a lot more of in the past 12 months. Social media.
So actually, I'll just, one of the things that we tried last summer, as you know, we've been kind of getting more into video over the last years. And so something that we started doing, I've been hiring two video people now. And so Pepper, some of you remember her, she made a 60-second clip, essentially, of each day. And the task was for kids to help her answer a different question. And all of these are on our blog and on our Facebook page. And parents typically really enjoy this. So this is 1 minute of one example.
I always feel God around me. I always think of him and my mom and my brother. So that's how I usually feel.
Don't worry, we're here to catch you.
It feels like you know people, right? If you talk to them, even though you've only met it that day, you still, like, you feel a connection. I just have to have my friends around me. I feel really good and happy
that I'm around my friends and people that care about me, that really care about me.
Always with you and always with you and supporting you.
Everybody's friends to you, and the counselors feel like they feel for you.
Everybody likes her, so I'm lucky I named her to the A.
I don't know if you caught that. The end. It's some pieces that are hard to hear. She said she feels loved by her counselor Bobby because she's really nice. And in this one game, we got to do. I don't know. She was saying something about how they lined up, and she got to sit next to Bobby because her name starts with an A. anyway. So yes. So. You know, I know that a lot of the world still uses paper, and I'm finding that it's very easy for us to communicate increasingly through online mediums, with video, with emails, with Facebook, and particularly kids follow that a lot, and a lot of young parents are online quite a bit as well. So we're just doing a lot of stuff with social media, and I think it's going to increase a little bit. One thing that the board needs to continue to address. We talked a little bit about it, but how do we form policies around the use of this? Not necessarily if I post something, you know, hopefully the director of the organization will be able to post appropriate things. What about all the summer counselors? What about the campers? How does all this interact? It's very messy right now. Not just for us. This is something that schools and other camps and all sorts of organizations are trying to figure out because it's so powerful. It's sort of like a quasi-gathering, but you just go sit in front of your computer and you start to have access to all of your people. And that's very powerful, yet how to use it, how to manage it, is a hard thing to figure out. So how many points did you...
I think I put up already at 5. Yeah. So, tally the points. This was a close game.
You forgot the 0. That was 10 and 20.
That was 0.
On 4.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get there.
Yeah.
Alright, so we had a tie between group 1 and group 4. And I really didn't see this coming, actually, the competitiveness, so. I do have some.
Oh, wait, we didn't. We need to. For bonus points, let's just go around the circle and name the concept for association project you had, if you had one.
Group
4?
We didn't have any.
Oh,
but for points, I'll say we'll go for the renovating the basement of the director's house.
Okay.
I'm throwing anything out there. I'm looking for points.
I just am not saying.
You need to push it for the reaffirmation.
All right, so what did they get for a last minute entry?
No idea, this
wasn't
part of the game.
Alright, so...
We had a practical one that we felt was reasonable and doable and needed.
Sure.
We thought it had already been done.
The generator for the camp.
Uh-huh.
Some of us knew it hadn't been done.
I can say... that what we have right now is a $700 portable generator, which powers the freezer or a couple other things. And that is tied into the panel, so it's very nice that we can switch between things when we need to. Like, we can turn the water pump on. So at least kids won't be without water if we're out of power for 2 days. What we cannot do is power very much at a time. And that's where the expense comes in. Because if we were to get a propane generator, that would be $15,000. If we were to get something for the back of the tractor, that would be $7,000. Okay,
that's a really good one. I'd give him 4 points.
I was
going to
say 5.
All right, group 2.
We're still ahead.
No, we're not. If we did it right, everybody.
Because you were 3. You were group 3.
Right.
3, okay. So group 2, did you guys come up with anything or no?
Well, we're a cabin project up here.
Do you have any? Were you envisioning working on it, money towards it, whatever?
Yeah, whatever.
Taking like 8 points worth.
That's right. That's about 10 times in here.
I think it's worth about
10 points.
No. All right. So that leaves group 1.
Well, we talked about the coming need for probably some sort of mobile kitchen, and so we talked specifically about a tent floor, you know, maybe a la the Gaga Pit stuff, as to knowing that there's going to be some
sure.
need in the middle of the big project here.
Right.
Yeah.
About
10. Oh, that was good.
Well, I'll tell you, so I'm just going to go out on a limb here. We don't have to commit to anything, but I'm going to ask us if we want to. So I'm just going to ask for a show of hands on each, and if we feel like there's some agreement, we can just pick a number and say, or however we want to address it. And if we can't figure it out, go ahead, Alan.
What's the basement? I didn't understand what that was.
The basement of the director's residence is unfinished. And with these sort of seasonal staff, like I was talking about Yo-Yo before that, there was Ike before that, there was Wade. What we're finding is that we are less willing now to invite whoever needs a place to stay to work for a few months into our house. It's like into our bedroom because it's the bedroom and the kitchen and their bedroom. So anyway, and additionally, in the future, if there is a larger family in that house, they will want more finished space, I think. So the board and I talked about this for one of our meetings a little bit, and so there's a group in Satterton Mennonite Church is going to come up this summer, and there's so for 2 weeks there's two separate groups that will essentially finish that space. So that's the basic project, and they are bringing some money for it. I don't know if we'll need a lot more than what they bring. I expect them to cover the majority of that. So I would actually cross that off the list. I think it's a good idea.
We're thinking about a fixture or something.
Oh sure, you guys could do the bathroom, right? Show of hands. You would like to take on the generator? Just raise your hand if you think that's a good idea for the association to figure out.
Well, we talked about that 5 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why we thought it was done.
Yeah.
The first thing on my watch that we agreed to.
Show of hands, something around the cabin, working out kind of a basic association.
These are all pretty nebulous.
They are.
Oh, the generators.
If there's something very specific.
A show of hands, mobile kitchen, try to address that. Okay. Any of you board members who also want to help here, or Virginia, if you want to lead the way.
No, I'm not. I don't know anything about a generator other than.
I think essentially what this would require, if we were to do this, I think it would require some cash, and some install, and we could do the install with friends or resources we have in this group. And then cash. Obviously, if we do install ourselves, it would be a little less cash.
Have you analyzed the need? How often are you out of power?
We currently use that generator. We end up using it. Would you say 4 different weeks?
At least. This past summer, it felt like once a week the power went out. I'm sure it wasn't that, but
it's not always long. Sometimes it might be 4 hours, 5 hours, but it's frustrating when it happens. The short ones are frustrating for depending on the timing. Yeah. And sometimes it's a full day.
Just like
how long was Irene?
Yeah. Oh, we're out for 6 days.
But that's not happening again.
Oh yeah.
And in the winter, same story. A lot of times with the rental group or during winter camp, it will happen. So
yeah.
It's very common.
Right. How many horsepower are we tracking?
32.
So what would happen if you had a second generator? Of the same style that could be used. You know, I'm just throwing that out.
It would be an electrical maneuver to piece the two together. Okay. Need to have essentially one feed into the box. I think that's correct.
Well, how long is it going to be till you redo the kitchen and put it in? Is it?
We're hoping 2013 August we would be able to break ground here.
So if you've got a generator now and hooked it all up to all this stuff, it would all have to be redone.
Yeah.
For the new kitchen.
What we have now is just an inlet into the panel. So
you think if you bought a new one?
I mean, the new facility is going to need its own
generator
that works for that facility.
Mm-hmm. Was that part of the program that's planned for, or is that
no? I mean, eventually that will need to happen. So you're saying, Phil, you're saying there's a concern about doing this now if we're going to rework the electrical and the whole. I mean, the thing that won't change is that there will still be a main feed into this area. So if we install something, it would probably get moved or shifted. Yeah, I think there would be some change.
But what's the size, what's the functionality that we really require for something that really isn't designed yet?
Oh, I see.
I mean, we just don't know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you'd be a pretty big good-sized generator of power.
Yeah.
So if we did get a generator now, it might not be adequate for what comes later.
Yeah.
I thought if you could get one to put on the tractor for now, it's going to be a lot bigger than what you have there.
Yeah.
It's something that you could maximize your 30 horsepower.
Yep.
And, you're only going to turn, when that horsepower is reached, that's your level.
Right.
You would have a bigger PTU.
Yep.
With the existing feed into the panel, if we swapped out the generator that's there for a bigger one, it'd just be plugging a different one in, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we could get a larger portable one, yes.
And so whatever was put in there, whether it's for the tractor or another portable one, it could go there, and then there would be enough power to run whatever was needed in the kitchen for the summer,
And the small one would be spare, so that could be put to the cabin or the gear in the maintenance barn or whatever. And so that wouldn't necessarily mean a wasted hard wiring.
Yeah.
It would just be swap it over for now.
Right.
But we'd be doing that knowing that...
Well, I think to that's right. I think to bring the conversation back to a broad level, it is a need and it's an ongoing need. And the replacement of this building, if we start in 2013, probably wouldn't be finished until 2015. So we're talking about at least 3 years from now. So I think if there's interest here in doing something with this, whether it's something for the back of the tractor that's much more portable. I think we could get something on the tractor that would power the majority of what we're doing. Kevin, Phil, Virginia, others, do you want to help me make a movement somewhere with this?
I have one question.
Yeah.
Did you say a price?
I have looked at generators for the back of our tractor.
Yeah.
And they are between $5,000 and $7,000 new. You can find used ones.
Yeah, how big are they?
They range for that tractor. They range. I saw one up to 25 kilowatts, which would power quite a bit of stuff.
And have you done an analysis of how many kilowatts you need?
Well,
If you're powering your kitchen, that would be the majority you need. The kitchen and the
farm. The cabin.
The cabin could even be done separately with a portable.
It could be with the other portable that we have. That's right. If we get up to 25 kilowatts, we could certainly power all the refrigeration and the two well pumps, which would at least cover everybody going to the bathroom, getting drinks, preparing food. It certainly wouldn't do everything in the facility at the same time. You couldn't use the welder and the dryer and the freezer, you know.
I don't have a real strong sense here. This is one of the first things that we did 5 years ago, I think. We agreed to it. Some people thought we did it. It just doesn't seem like there's this real... It doesn't seem like the auction, and it doesn't seem like the cabin.
Mm.
It seems like, that's a good idea if we get to it, but I don't sense that there's this pressing... feeling for us to...
I want to go back to this, though. You're saying that if you had power outages this summer, that you could do a little bit of something or a little bit of something, but you couldn't do everything. And suppose it does go out for 2 days, and you've got all these kids here and so on, and it's inadequate, then what do you do? So that's my question.
What we do is switch back between the freezer and the water. And if it was 2 days, at some point we'd probably lose a lot of food in the freezer.
Or you borrow a generator. I mean, assuming not all of Vermont is going to lose power at the same time, I would anticipate that there's probably friends at the camp that would be able to help out.
Yeah, I think the problem is always getting it in time and doing that while dealing with other things. So I think it's a possibility. I don't see it. It hasn't happened in the past. We didn't do it for the flood. We didn't do it other times.
Well, nobody get it for the flood.
Right.
You can borrow mine if you need one.
Yeah, I got one just like Dave.
All right.
You want to have one too?
All right.
Well, yeah, closer.
All right. Well, I don't want to press it any further. So I think it's a good idea, and we may buy one at some point. We'll see.
I think we all hear, for you guys who are living it, there's a need. And my sense is right now, we're saying, we think we got you covered.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think that's...
Sure.
That's the best way to go for it.
Sure.
I'll bring mine up here for the start of the summer if you want it.
Okay.
If it goes out, I'll use ours.
Okay.
Then we get Amber's mom to start praying.
Yeah. I love to know that, but sometimes it feels like what's going on up there in the other projects, it seems like there's a lot of need.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
And I, that's part of my hesitation, I guess, to, you know, ask for myself and to ask others and the association to make
what
you do. Yeah, yeah. I think the consideration should be there in the scope of the renovating this building and having the building and the cost of the property there that you look at and take to add just a generator as part of that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if you're raising $1 million, what's an extra dollar?
Right. 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 Yeah. No, it will have to be part of that project for sure. Well, good. Well, thanks for considering that. And I am always thankful for this style of doing things. Hey, if there's something we can do, let us know. What you're saying with your generator, Dave. I think that's encouraging. So. Well, let me say a few more things, and then we need to move on in this meeting here. Do you want to say some things about program, where we're headed?
Sure. Where we're headed in program, and I think I alluded to a good bit of this during the game, so I'll just say a few things. Next winter, jumping past summer, due to some of the waiting lists and things like that, we're going to add another winter weekend. So you can all join me in starting praying now to figure out how to staff that. I have some ideas. There was some interest from some young adult groups in Pennsylvania who I think half wanted to serve and half wanted to ski. And so I think that we are a great place for that because they could come for a weekend and I would trust a lot of them to cook or to hang out with kids or whatever. And then they could stay a few days and go skiing. So I'm hoping to pursue some of those avenues, and again, with the teens that are here, I'm starting to, feel excited about them coming to help at those kind of weekends, too. So we're going to try to go ahead and add another winter weekend. This summer, there's no new Gaga pit being added. There's nothing crazy new happening this summer. I realized last summer, as we rack our brains at what we can add and what can make it better, that we have a lot of good things, and when we try to add more, there's not enough, there's not enough hours in the day. Kids need to sleep, they need to rest, and they can only stay till Friday. So I think this summer we're going to spend some time focusing on how do we make what we currently do better and how do we fit that together more. And one of the things I'm really excited about this summer is this will be the first summer that a program extraordinaire has returned for a second summer. I try not to let that feel like that's a reflection of how hard it is to work with me, but this is the first time one of them are coming back, and so I'm really excited. Last summer, I felt really tired for the first time and wasn't sure what that meant, and so this summer, I'm excited to try to pass off some of what I do to her, and so she's tired, so that we can find a better balance for me, and because I think she's mature enough and very excited to take on some of that responsibility too, so I'm looking forward to how that pans out. I think, some of the other just kind of summer specific stuff. We got GPS units donated last year, which we didn't get to use a lot, and I have some ideas for how to use that this year, and I'm excited to send kids searching through the woods with little handheld electronic devices. And it seems exciting with their world of electronics. To have something to offer that is similar yet still in the woods and not in front of a TV, so that feels pretty exciting. And we're also going to have a day camp trial this summer. So they used to do day camp here before. I have a hard time believing one of my reasons for not necessarily being excited about day camp was it was hard for me to believe that people would actually drive up the hill in the morning and then back up the hill to retrieve their child in the evening. It seems weird to me, but so Brandon said, well, we'll just offer transportation. That we're going to offer transportation, but there's some people who said, we should offer transportation and we'll help with it. And our friendship week, our mini week, is notoriously lowly attended, so we're going to run it the same time as that, so it'll be similar age kids here at the same time, and we're going to try it out for 3 days and see how it goes. And our theme for this summer is Inside Out, so we're going to talk a little bit about how the ways of Jesus are oftentimes look a lot different than what kids see around them, and pop culture and various other places. And there's also going to be, we didn't want to get away from the last few years we've had nature themes. And we didn't really want to get away from that, but we thought too many people were expecting us to do wind next, because we had done fire, water. And so while I think there'd be a really good theme in wind, we decided to go with Inside Out. And so there'll be a nature component to each day as well, how some of the things we see in nature aren't always what we expect to see. So I'm pretty excited about all of that. So if you have more questions about summer, just come this summer and check it out.
So, brief update on Pavilion and Cabin. So the past year on Pavilion, we essentially, when I say past year, I really mean 14, 15 months ago, the board essentially agreed on a rough concept, a version that we talked about last year that we liked. We accomplished this feasibility study, and we're starting to understand the cost and our timeline much better. So right now we're in the process of putting together a resource development team. So this is probably about 15 people who will work closely with me and the consultant and the board to help create essentially movement. Because what I'm learning about capital campaigns is that it's a movement, and if people are excited about it, they will continue to give and help and be a part. And there is always an end to a movement. So the key apparently is to move quickly once we begin. If you have interest in the resource development team, there's different positions, different ways to be involved with that team. If you have interest in being on that team or know of somebody who you think ought to be on that team because of how they relate to others, because of their passion for CAM, because of their just interest in this project, please let me know. We need to assemble the team probably by the end of August so that we can begin training in September, October. So as you know, the intention of the pavilion, the intention is to rebuild it is twofold. To begin to prepare the camp facility for the next 50 years, 70 years, I don't know how long it will last, this version. And to gain spaces we've been missing for a long time, as well as create space for building up the winter program that we envision. We're making progress on that project, and it feels good, we'll keep you posted. The cabin, there's so much to say about that, mainly just because it's been hot and heavy right now. So to keep this short, we've been working on it for the last couple weeks. We have quite a bit of cash towards the project now. In hand now, I think we have 40 and another 10 committed, so we're up to like $50,000 towards the project. In the end, we may need 60. What is frustrating about this situation is it sort of keeps developing. The fire marshal is being really lenient with us, which is good. The bad part about that is that every once in a while he shifts his idea a little bit. Robert has been a big help in this project in trying to understand what are you saying exactly when you say it. An automated fire alarm would be advantageous. Does that mean we have to do it? Does that mean we don't have to do it? If we don't do it, will you limit us to 16? Or will you let us have 30 in the building? So in the meantime, we're pushing ahead with building things in there, and he's made it clear we shouldn't do that, yet he's been on site and he knows we're doing it. So it's a very awkward sort of situation, and we're doing the best that we can. So it's very nice to know that there has been a lot of cash put towards the project so that as we need to, we can just buy things and make it happen. Phase one of the project will hopefully gain us occupancy in June. That's what we're shooting for. Phase two of the project, we still have to work out exactly how that looks. That's a lot of what our board meeting this afternoon is about. And hopefully phase two will gain us sort of permanent occupancy and be good enough that they'll write all the details down and say, however the building is now, we're going to let you have it that way for a long time. That's the intention of phase two. Yeah, so you know, a lot of facility stuff. Like Dave said, or like Steve said, there's just a lot of needs. And I think it's important to remember that there's always been a lot of needs here, and there's a lot of needs in the world. And that's okay. We will do what we can, and God will grant resources and a way forward for whatever God has in mind. Yeah, I have a few more things to say, but I'm not going to say them. So instead, I'll just tell you that the last couple things I was going to say are in this document. This is my
year-end report here. And I want to highlight something on, I'm just going to give one for a couple here. I'll be emailing this out to you as well, so you'll have another copy.
So the last thing I want to highlight then, before I leave the stage here, on the second page of this document, so probably you realize that we're just talking about a lot of things here, and I think, so in order for this to work, like as needs arise, if there's a way we can be involved, I think the simplest way to keep up with the ongoing stuff that's happening, on the second page, there's a bunch of media icons there. After going through all the social media, there's email. This is a good way to keep up. And then after that, I basically am saying below that, if you don't really do computer stuff and you don't like to read your email, just tell me, I'll call you each month. Or I'll write you a letter or print out all the stuff that I think is significant and I'll just mail it to you so you can read it in paper. So if this social media and email and stuff is not what you want to do, that's fine. Just let me know and I will send you the info that seems important.
Grant, would you also come and visit for coffee or lunch or dinner?
I would prefer
that. So I can actually see you and talk to you.
I would prefer that.
Just so you know that some of us live in Vermont and it's impossible to be connected to the social media.
Are you guys, are you still on dial-up in Barnet?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Well, I know that's changing, Amber.
It's supposed to change, but we're waiting.
Although we will not promise to be on Facebook and Twitter. Yeah.
That's quite all right.
But we might have faster access.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, so thank you for continuing to be a part of this community, for many of you, for in some way beginning this community. It's just amazing in my mind what has happened and what is happening, and the needs always seem to be met in some way or another, because we are joining together, I think, and as we continue to do that, especially looking towards the joiner of us, I just think the needs will always be met. So thanks for letting us have the stage for an hour.
Yeah, any questions for Brandon and Amber? It was a great idea, first of all, the game to get us
And I do have prizes for everyone. So I can't. Many people hate this, but I love it. Everybody wins. So you can see me at the end.
So in talking about the board work the past year, you get a sense that our main